Oppenheimer returned to Cambridge with a lighter, more forgiving attitude about life. "I felt much kinder and more tolerant," he recalled. "I could now relate to others." By June 1926, he decided to end his sessions with the Cambridge psychiatrist. It also lifted his spirits that spring to leave the miserable hole he had till then occupied in Cambridge and move into less miserable quarters along the River Cam, halfway to Grantchester, a quaint village 1 mile south of Cambridge. As he despised laboratory work, and clearly was inept as an experimental physicist, he now wisely turned to the abstractions of theoretical physics. Even in the midst of his long winter depression, he had managed to read enough to realize that the entire field was in a state of ferment. One day in a Cavendish seminar, Robert watched as James Chadwick, the discoverer of the neutron, opened a copy of Physical Review to a new paper by Robert A. Millikan and quipped, "Another cackle. Will there ever be an egg?" Sometime in early 1926, after reading a paper by the young German physicist Werner Heisenberg, he realized that there was emerging a wholly new way of thinking about how electrons behaved. About the same time, an Austrian physicist, Erwin Schrödinger, published a radical new theory about the structure of the atom. Schrödinger proposed that electrons behaved more precisely as a wave curving around the nucleus of the atom. Like Heisenberg, he crafted a mathematical portrait of his fluid atom and called it quantum mechanics. After reading both papers, Oppenheimer suspected that there had to be a connection between Schrödinger's wave mechanics and Heisenberg's matrix mechanics. They were, in fact, two versions of the same theory. Here was an egg, and not merely another cackle. Quantum mechanics now became the hot topic at the Kapitza Club, an informal physics discussion group named for its founder, Peter Kapitza, a young Russian physicist. "In a rudimentary way," recalled Oppenheimer, "I began to get pretty interested." That spring, he also met another young physicist, Paul Dirac, who would earn his doctorate that May from Cambridge. By then, Dirac had already done some groundbreaking work on quantum mechanics. Robert remarked with considerable understatement that Dirac's work was not easily understood, and he was not concerned to be understood. "I thought he was absolutely grand." On the other hand, his first impression of Dirac may not have been so favorable. Robert told Jeffries Wyman that he didn't think he, Dirac, amounted to anything. Dirac was himself an extremely eccentric young man and notoriously single-minded in his devotion to science. One day some years later, when Oppenheimer offered his friend several books, Dirac politely declined the gift, remarking that reading books interfered with thought. It was about this time that Oppenheimer met the great Danish physicist Niels Bohr, whose lectures he had attended at Harvard. Here was a role model finely attuned to Robert's sensibilities. 19 years older than Oppenheimer, Bohr was born, like Oppenheimer, into an upper-class family surrounded by books, music, and learning. Bohr's father was a professor of physiology, and his mother came from a Jewish banking family. Bohr obtained his doctorate in physics at the University of Copenhagen in 1911. 2 years later, he achieved the key theoretical breakthrough in early quantum mechanics by postulating quantum jumps in the orbital momentum of an electron around the nucleus of an atom. In 1922, he won the Nobel Prize for this theoretical model of atomic structure. Tall and athletic, a warm and gentle soul with a wry sense of humor, Bohr was universally admired. He always spoke in a self-effacing near whisper. "Not often in life," Albert Einstein wrote to Bohr in the spring of 1920, "has a human being caused me such joy by his mere presence as you did." Einstein was charmed by Bohr's manner of uttering his opinions like one perpetually groping and never like one who believed himself to be in the possession of definite truth. Oppenheimer came to speak of Bohr as his God. "At that point, I forgot about beryllium and films and decided to try to learn the trade of being a theoretical physicist. By that time, I was fully aware that it was an unusual time, that great things were afoot." That spring, with his mental health on the mend, Oppenheimer worked steadily on what would become his first major paper in theoretical physics, a study of the collision or continuous spectrum problem. It was hard work. One day he walked into Ernest Rutherford's office and saw Bohr sitting in a chair. Rutherford rose from behind his desk and introduced his student to Bohr. The renowned Danish physicist then asked politely, "How's it going?" Robert replied bluntly, "I'm in difficulties." Bohr asked, "Are the difficulties mathematical or physical?" When Robert replied, "I don't know," Bohr said, "That's bad."